Pain in the Nation, the epidemics of alcohol, drug, and suicide deaths 2024. A brand new study literally just dropped thanks to Trust for America's Health. And we're going to talk about this entity in just a minute. But it really looks at the, first of all, data, improvement of substance misuse and suicide mortality rates in the last 5 years. So good news at the start. Bad news, though, the trends remain alarmingly high. And when you look further back than just 5 years, you see that we still have a very major problem on our hands, drug overdoses in particular. So joining me to talk a little bit more about this, I am very excited to have on the show Dr. Nadine Gracia. And she is the president and CEO of Trust for America's Health, joining us this morning. Doctor, thank you so much for your time. How are you?
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you.
And did I say your last name correctly?
Yes, you did. Thank you.
Okay, no problem. Just making sure. So this is a huge report. First of all, talk to us about what went into collecting all of this data and then releasing this brand new information to the public.
Yes. So the Pain in the Nation report is a report really designed to call attention to the crisis that our nation is facing when it comes to alcohol, drug, and suicide deaths in the nation. And it examines across the nation and looking at states across the nation, the rates of alcohol-induced deaths, the rates of drug overdose deaths, and the rates of suicide deaths. And as you pointed out earlier, we'll look at specifically those death rates in the most recent year of data that are available, and then also helps us to look at across the years, to look at trends, to be able to determine how we're progressing as a nation as a whole.
And really quickly, Doctor, I was just curious if we could also talk about Trust for America's Health, also known as TFA. Tell us about this entity, how long it's been around, and is this pretty common to the work that you do, collecting data, releasing reports, really highlighting or bringing attention to issues like this?
Yes, yeah, so Trust for America's Health, as you know, we're known as TFA. We are a nonprofit, nonpartisan public health organization that's based in D.C. We're a public health organization that engages in research, policy, and advocacy. And what we do is really work to advance policies and programs that are going to promote optimal health for every person and community, and where we focus on how to assure that public health and prevention and advancing health equity are really foundational to policy making. We do issue reports on key issues of national importance in terms of public health, and we analyze data, and in particular for this year's report, analyzing data from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, data from the states, to report specifically on the rates of drug, alcohol, and suicide deaths. And not only are we reporting on these and really calling attention to the crisis that we're seeing, we also then provide information on solutions in terms of policies or programs that we know work and that can help to reverse these alarming trends.
What made TFA want to focus on this specifically? I mean, is it the fact, the reason I ask this, to be honest, is because there's sort of a right now, and of course it's an election year, so I understand that, but I find even here in Connecticut, but certainly on the national level, there it's like a tale of two cities. You know, you'll hear from one party that crime is down. Things are down. We're in a very good place. Crime is down and drug use and all these other things. We're down right now. So why are we acting like this is a huge problem? But then you hear from another party that I don't really care what the most recent numbers look like. This is still a huge problem. And I'm hearing from constituents that this is an issue. So was that a driving factor to really focus on this? Because I do think it's interesting that in this report, it really focuses on two different stories. One is in the immediate time frame of 5 years. And yes, our numbers are down. But when you then pull back and you look at where we're at in 2024 compared to where we were two decades ago, we have a serious issue.
Yes, this is indeed a longstanding issue for our nation. And actually, our Pain in the Nation report is a report that we have been releasing every year for the past 7 years. Why we became engaged in this work around looking at issues of mental health and substance use is because we know how important our mental health is to our overall health. And that our mental health and well-being and issues of substance misuse, addiction, and suicide, these are not personal, individual, or moral failings, but that this is really a health issue and should be addressed as a public health issue. We became engaged in it because we saw what the data were telling us, and that was that we were going on a very concerning trend as a nation, not just in this recent year, not just in the past 5 years, but over decades, seeing that we were seeing rising rates and really an alarming epidemic of alcohol, drug, and suicide deaths. And we've seen, you know, changes in the trends of what's driving that. You know, earlier in a previous period, we saw that it was, for example, with drug overdose deaths, that was more so being driven by, for example, prescription opioids, prescription medications. And we've seen changes over time where now, for example, with drug overdose deaths, we're seeing that, for example, fentanyl, which can be very deadly, is entering into that drug supply, increasing and continuing to drive most of these overdose deaths. But the issue is that we have programs and policies that we know work. And what we have to understand is what's really at the root cause of this to be able to address these issues. And what we know is that this is really a societal crisis, more rooted in people who are experiencing mental health problems, are experiencing loneliness or hardships like economic hardships and feelings of hopelessness. And so when we approach this as a public health crisis, then that means we need public health solutions to be able to address it.
A new report highlighting the epidemic of drug, alcohol, and suicide deaths was just released to the public thanks to the Trust for America's Health, also known as TIFA. The nonprofit releases this annual report each year and has for the last 7 years. And joining us to talk more about this, we have one of the authors, Dr. Nadine Gracia Hughes here, president and CEO of TIFA. And so I wanted to talk about some of the specific numbers, Dr. Gracia, if you don't mind, just kind of going into that a little bit. And then specifically, can we also even hyper-locally look at Connecticut's numbers?
Absolutely, yes. Yes. Yeah, so what we saw in for this year's report is that the data for 2022 is showing some positive signs that across the nation we're seeing about a 6% decrease in alcohol-induced deaths and stable rates of drug overdose and suicide deaths, and that's different from previous years in which we saw rising rates across all of these measures. You know, that's really showing that the work of community partners, working in prevention, of state partners, of the federal government to really ensure that we're addressing this crisis, that that's having an impact. But as we noted earlier, it's really important to remember that if we look at this in terms of a longer-term trend, the past 2 decades, that deaths due to alcohol, drugs, and suicide in the U.S. have actually increased at an alarming rate by 142% since 2002. So we know that there's more work to do because in 2022, over 207,000 people in the U.S. died from due to drug, alcohol, and suicide. That's family and friends who are losing their loved ones. When we look specifically at the drivers of this, you know, we're seeing, for example, in drug overdose deaths, fentanyl, for example, continues to drive most of the overdose deaths. For alcohol-induced deaths, we saw that drop by 6%. That's the first decrease that we've seen in over a decade. And when we look at this, this is really happening across the country and communities across the country, but it's not impacting every population, every group the same. We see disparities, for example, that American Indian, Alaska Native people, Black individuals, white individuals have higher rates of that average combined deaths due to alcohol, drugs, and suicide. And it's important to really think about the root causes for this, things such as having access to mental health services, where we see the need for economic supports because there may be income inequality, and then just understanding the types of hardships and experience of loneliness that people are feeling. So these are all things that we have to address when we think about addressing this overall crisis. For the state of Connecticut, we saw specifically that there was actually about a 3% decrease in total deaths due to alcohol, drugs, and suicide. But that's still more than 2,300 individuals who died due to these causes. We saw both for alcohol and drug overdoses that there was a decrease of about 5%, but there was a rise in suicide deaths of about 6%. So again, more work to do to really be able to assure that we can promote mental health and well-being and be able to save lives.
And I know you were saying, Dr. Garcia, that there are resources that you know, your entity, again, a nonprofit and totally not politically driven, really just trying to find solutions to these problems. What would you suggest? I mean, when you talk about, so fentanyl is something you brought up. And obviously, I don't want to get political either. I'm a non-political person myself. I'm not affiliated with either party, and I don't plan to ever be. But, something like fentanyl, we know that is a direct correlation with the border. So I know, like, that's sort of Pandora's box that has already been opened. But what would you suggest, you know, when you talk about mental health resources, obviously investing in that, and that's kind of a state-to-state. We know federally they need to do that, but state-to-state, that's sort of a priority that needs to be made by your government. But what would you suggest are some of the things that we could do to bring those numbers down even more?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there are indeed solutions that exist, and we there are programs and policies that are proven to work. We need to increase investment in prevention programs and also strengthening the types of community conditions, the support for youth and families. Promote good health. So how do we do that? Increasing funding, for example, for substance use prevention programs, mental health programs, and resiliency programs in schools. Schools are an ideal place to be able to reach our young people, ensuring that they have access to mental health services in schools. We also need to increase support for programs that will actually help to save lives in times of crisis. For example, ensuring that there is readily available access to the overdose reversal drug naloxone. Naloxone can save lives for someone if they have experienced a drug overdose. Ensuring that we have greater access to that is critically important. And then we also need to strengthen our mental health and substance use prevention system. For example, crisis intervention systems like the 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline, where if someone is, you know, dealing with a challenge, feeling sad or hopeless, even has thoughts of suicide, that they can call the 988 number and be able to speak with a counselor. And we've seen the level of need for that. It's been 2 years since the launch of the 988 Lifeline. Counselors have answered more than 10 million calls, texts, and chats to that lifeline. So we need to assure that we're sustaining funding for those types of crisis intervention services. And then we also need to make sure that everyone who needs it has access to treatment services with regards to mental health and addiction services, and to assure that the health care that's delivered, it's that it's really responsive and respectful to diverse communities, that everyone who accesses it feels like their needs are being addressed. When we look, for example, at the state of Connecticut, there is a state law, for example, that really helps to facilitate that type of community distribution of naloxone, that overdose reversal drug, to be able to save lives. We can do even more, for example, with regards to getting greater access to mental health services and programs in schools, assuring that all residents have access to mental health care services.
Well, Dr. Garcia, I want to thank you for all of this information. And if people want to access the report and read it in length, where can they find it?
Yes, they can go visit our website at Trust for America's Health, which is TFAH.org. That's TFAH.org.
Well, Dr. Garcia, I want to again thank you so much for taking the time to come on WICC and talk about this very important topic. And I look forward to continuing this conversation in the near future. Thank you.
Thanks again for the opportunity. Take care.
Absolutely.